You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A brief program note. With a summit in the Azores and negotiations continuing at the UN, international diplomacy is at a peak. Join host Neil Conan on Monday in this hour for an analysis and context of the weekend's news. For the rest of this hour, today we're going to take a look at a new drug for a serious condition. Maybe you're among an estimated 1.5 million Americans who are allergic to peanuts. This is not an easy thing, because there's somewhere between 50 and 100 people who die each year after accidentally ingesting peanuts in some form. And in some people, just the slightest bit of a peanut can set off a deadly reaction, making those with the allergy afraid to eat in restaurants or to eat any food that they haven't prepared themselves. Now there's a new drug that might help people with peanut allergies to tolerate more of the forbidden nut. Joining me to talk about this new drug and other conditions it might be useful for is Dr. Stephen Wasserman. He is a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Diego. He's also the past president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, an organization that just held its 60th anniversary meeting this past week. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Wasserman.
It's my pleasure.
Tell us about this new drug. Give me a little capsule of what this is about.
Well, this new drug takes advantage of the modern biology and the ability to generate antibodies of desired specificity. This antibody is directed against a portion of the human allergic antibody, so-called IgE, and it's directed against that portion of this IgE antibody which permits it to bind to cells in the body which generate dangerous allergic mediators. So this designed antibody is used as a drug to soak up all of the allergic antibody, prevent it from binding to the target cells. And therefore, when the individual interacts with whatever they're allergic to, there's substantially less of the allergic antibody on these target cells, and therefore less activation and hopefully less disease.
So let's talk about what an allergy is. Back up a moment, what antibodies are and an allergy is to cause an allergic reaction.
Well, when an individual is appropriately genetically programmed, that is, they selected the wrong set of parents, they become able to generate an allergic response. That means when such an individual encounters something in the world, a cat, house dust mites, or in this case, peanuts, their body makes an antibody to it. Sometimes that's protective, and we make antibodies to a number of things. For example, in vaccines, that's what we do, is we make antibodies. But those antibodies are of a class called IgG. G is in George. When an individual is genetically programmed to make a different antibody, so-called IgE, E as in Edward, those antibodies have an ability to bind, that is, stick to certain cells in the body, mast cells and basophils, which contain within them histamine. And also, these cells have the ability, when the IgE antibody that's on them sees the antigen, to activate themselves and to generate additional molecules, some called leukotrienes, for which there are new drugs, and also a number of other inflammatory molecules, which set up a cascade which, in the case of a peanut allergic person, happens very, very abruptly, very severely, and can lead to death from heart changes, lung changes, or blood pressure changes.
Mm-hmm. So what the new drug does then is that it floods the blood with the drug, which blocks the antibody from latching on?
That's correct. It takes a little time, because if you start, let's say a peanut allergic person were to walk into the studio today, and we were to start this drug immediately, currently they have the allergic antibody already arming these allergic cells. Mm-hmm. So it would take a little time for this new drug to soak up the newly made antibody that's being generated by their immune system, and to allow the antibody that's currently on their allergic cells to gradually wear off. But over time, these individuals would be protected by this new antibody, because new allergic antibody would not have access to the binding sites because it would be blocked by the drug.
So in practical use then, how is the drug used? Do you wake up in the morning and take a shot and then take one later in the day?
No, this because of the long duration of action of and what's called half-life, that is the ability of this drug to persist in the system, it looks like it would be used probably every 2 weeks.
Wow.
By injection, yeah. Which some people will say, wow. But certainly many people with allergies now get injections on a weekly to monthly basis. Up until recently, until this drug, in fact, we've not had an effective preventative therapy or overall therapy for food allergy. In contrast to pollen allergy or bee sting allergy, where we can give allergy immunotherapy, that is allergy shots, mm-hmm. for foods that's not worked.
Right. Well, is this specifically working against just the peanuts?
No, the antibody that's being given works against all the IgE in the body. So if the individual were multiply allergic, it should work equally well against all of the allergens. Clearly, the most severe allergy that someone has would be the one that would be the most difficult to deal with just on amounts, I would think.
So if you were allergic to seafood or shellfish or something like that, this would work?
This should work for shellfish allergy. When it's been used in asthma and in allergic rhinitis or hay fever, it's worked for people with a whole variety of potential allergic triggers. In fact, the dosing of the drug is based on the total amount of IgE allergic antibody in the blood, not what that IgE recognizes.
Wow. Would it be possible to, instead of making this injectable into a spray or an inhaler, something like
that? That's been thought of, but it would probably then only protect that particular area. The IgE that's generated is being made by plasma cells, which are found in the lymphoid organs throughout the body, the spleen, the bone mm-hmm. marrow, and the lymph nodes. So it leaves those particular areas and travels to the sites of the skin or the heart or the lungs or the blood vessels. Some of it's made locally in the lung, for example, in asthma, but the vast majority is probably made elsewhere. So a targeted therapy, one would have to study it, but my guess would be a targeted therapy would not be as effective.
All right, the $64 question. You know what I'm going to ask, right?
I wish it was 64.
When is this going to be available?
I'm sure you're aware of the article that was, I believe, published in the Wall Street Journal, that there's a little dispute going on between the company sponsored the trial for peanut allergy, mm-hmm. Which is a small company in Houston called Tanox,
right.
And the Genentech-Novartis combination, who've been very instrumental in developing this drug for asthma and rhinitis. My guess is the asthma and rhinitis indication should be approved sometime this year. I would hope that it would be available summer to fall. I think it's between the companies to decide how they're going to sort out this intellectual property dispute. But if it's approved for asthma, I can guarantee you physicians will use it off-label. When the FDA actually approves it for food, I think that's some time off.
Mm-hmm. So people are going to be suffering because big business is squabbling over this drug.
Well, they're squabbling over this drug in the sense of continuing the evaluation or who actually will be permitted to pursue the food allergy indication. But as I said, it's very likely that the indication for asthma and rhinitis, and certainly asthma, will be approved later this fall. And any licensed physician can use an approved drug for off-label uses. And I think it would be very difficult for a physician faced with a patient with a life-threatening anaphylactic sensitivity to something to turn that patient down for an off-label use. Now, insurance probably won't pay for it. They'll still consider it experimental.
Yeah. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about this new treatment for allergy to peanuts, which works for other kinds of stuff, too, other foods, and also for, I guess, hay fever, that kind of thing, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Newark, Delaware. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a question on that exact topic. My wife is extremely allergic to onions, scallions, shallots, garlic, and But she will not eat out on the risk that people may have used onion salt in a kitchen in a restaurant. And by extension, when I grew up as a kid, I had a neighbor, a friend, who was very allergic to wasp bites and bee bites. So by extension, would this also work for that type of allergy? I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The answer to that is a resounding yes, it would. However, bee sting or wasp sting allergy has an extremely effective therapy using traditional immunotherapy mechanisms, that is allergy shots using the venom of those insects. So this new drug would not be necessary. In addition, there's a difference between this new drug. It works only as long as it's used. If you were to discontinue the drug, then the IgE allergic antibody that the patient was making would continue to be made, and if this drug is not available, it would bind to the binding sites and resensitize the allergic cells. The traditional immunotherapy that's used for bee sting allergy, for example, once it is effective essentially a lifelong. In fact, some allergists have been discussing the use of this new therapy to protect an individual while traditional immunotherapy was being given. We've not been able to do that for foods because people are so exquisitely sensitive that there have been some mishaps in research studies. In fact, there was a death in a research study using peanut immunotherapy. But if one could cover patients with this protective antibody drug, it's conceivable that it would be much safer to launch into traditional immunotherapy under its protection and perhaps convey lifelong protection to individuals which we can't do now.
Let's go to the phone. Another question from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. On the one hand, my daughter has a severe peanut allergy, a life-threatening one. She's 4 years old. And on the one hand, this is really great news. But on the other hand, I'm really quite concerned that people are going to get over-optimistic about it. There's been a good social movement towards, you know, some corporate response and schools responding to keeping kids safe. My understanding is that right now the shots would cost something on the order of $10,000 a year, and they won't be covered by insurance, as has been pointed out. But the question that I have is, in the published reports of the study that I've seen, it's relatively small, 84 patients involving peanut, all above the age of 12, and there's a common optimistic citing of statistics saying the maximum, somebody was able to tolerate up to the equivalent of 24 peanuts, and the average was 9. But there's never been any report of what the minimum was, but my math tells me that if the maximum was 24 and the average is 9, that there's more below that than there is above that. And so if the doctor could tell us what the low range was and maybe address sort of how he sees the cost issues as well.
Doctor?
Well, I think that's an outstanding and very perceptive question.
I've got about 30 seconds, so see if you can sum that up.
I think it's that you can't tell from the report whether everybody was equally improved. My guess is that there will be people who maintain sensitivity. The other issue, though, is that I think almost everybody who got the drug got some diminution in their symptoms. However, with a severely allergic individual, it will still be important to avoid the allergen. We still have a lot to learn, I guess, is the bottom line.
This is not you don't take this medication and go out and eat handfuls of peanuts as much as you want. This is just to tide you over if you want to eat out in a restaurant or something like that.
I think it's a safety valve that would prevent you from reacting. With 4-year-olds, what we usually see is somebody likes to play a trick and stick some peanut butter inside a chocolate cookie and doesn't tell them, and this might protect them in that instance.
I got you. Thank you very much for talking with us, Dr. Wasserman.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Stephen Wasserman is professor of medicine at the University of California, San Diego, also past president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Our program is produced by Ned Heist, Adrian McDonald, Kevin Boyd, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our web producer and director. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Talk of the Nation Science Friday, 1221 6th Avenue, 36th floor, New York, New York, 10020. Or you can send us email at our website, sciencefriday.com, where you also find links over there to what we talk about. You can also leave us email and pick up past editions of Science Friday. Also, Science Friday's Kids Connection there, curricula, free curricula for teachers and students based on the stuff that we do on Science Friday. So surf over to there, and you can also pick up all this good stuff. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.